Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. This evening, I'm going to be speaking to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 1. I'll give you a moment to get there. All right. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul, right there in that one verse, is telling a whole lot about himself. Now, as we talk to others, how are we really introducing ourselves to someone that would be new? Are we letting them really know who we are and how we got the way we are? Or are we just giving them a name? It's time that God's people wake up, stand up, and be accounted. Because there's coming a day and time where we will not be able to do so. There's coming a time that if we choose to continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, will mean that you and I will be beheaded. Think about this. And it's not as far off as we'd like to believe. Because we'd like to believe it would never happen. But right now, a lot of you would be surprised to know just what the leadership of our government is up to. Things they've already got into work. Once it would come about, would put you and I out of business. And if we stayed with the Lord Jesus Christ, would take our life from us. We're working on things like that right now. But yet mankind has not really thought enough about it or enough about the good Lord and about themselves to really care what is going on. And today, after services this morning, my daughter and I took a trip. And to see the churches here in our county and within just a 10 to 15 minute drive are already closed. And then as we continue to make a circle to return home to see how many more right now is on the verge of closing. Because mankind has gotten to the point that he is figuring he doesn't need God. He's going to wake up one day too late. We need to be out there working and working hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is growing short. And we need to be doing all we can do to get those in that are not in, that are not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes through his church. Because after he comes through his church, what's left back here, there'll be no way for them to ever make heaven their home. Think about that. And they'll face tribulation, trials and troubles and pain like they never believed could ever happen. But Paul there in that first verse has really let them know exactly who he is, what he is, and how he got to be that way. Verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He's letting them know he's not by himself. He's got brothers with him. This is just Paul's greeting, the first five verses, really. And he says here in 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, and our Father. Jesus paid that price. He paid the price for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world. He bought and paid the price. So we really have no excuse for not following him. But we also have to go through him in order to make it. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he ends that greeting with amen. All right. Now here, starting with verse 6, and through all probably the next 4 or 5 verses, Paul is dealing with and letting us know that there is no other gospel. And there again, look what our churches have done. How many gospels they have put out there because they are not in agreement with the word of Almighty God. They're teaching a lot of things that are contrary to God's word and call themselves Christians. Verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, these churches in Galatia, they were doing the same thing. The gospel that Paul and them had established the church on . He's letting us know here, it's evident they were changing things and accepting things that was contrary to what they had been taught. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, they're claiming that it's the same gospel. Paul says it's not. It's been perverted, which is exactly what is being done today. And we have so many different denominations out there today, and they want nothing to do with each other. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You go to heaven, there's not going to be one place for Baptists, and one place for Methodists, and one place for Presbyterian, one place for Lutheran. No. There is only one gospel. And that's what I'm holding in my hand and teaching you from. That is the word of Almighty God. This was not given to us by man. It was wrote by man, but it was given to him to write it by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we're told that in several different places and many times, as we found out this morning. Now, verse 8. I want you to see here just how strong Paul is speaking to them about this. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Think about it. Give you just a moment to think about that. Them, or even an angel, cannot change that. The gospel that they had preached, which is what we have in hold in our hand when we are holding this Holy Bible. As we said before, so I now again, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Twice in two verses, he's told you the same thing. Meaning to let you know, you better listen to this. Because this is the way it is. Now, 10. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see, when God calls us into the ministry to preach his word, we're not here to please mankind. We're here to please God by giving mankind the truth of his word. Not my opinion of it, what I think about it, but what it says. That's why I tell everybody, if you're going to join with me, have your Bibles with you. If you're listening to me online or on YouTube or at services with me, have your Bible. I want you to know that what I'm giving you is the Word of God, and it's coming just the way it was written. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He said, this gospel I preach doesn't come from mankind. He said, it's not after man. And he goes on to tell you exactly why it's not from mankind. He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's letting you know exactly how he received this word. Because you see, when we have the Holy Spirit, and we listen to him give us the knowledge and all that we have, that is coming to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation is connected to the Trinity of the Godhead. All three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are connected to your salvation. God really loved mankind. But mankind has turned and they quit loving God. In my lifetime, the years that I've lived, I have watched the churches weaken and fall away from the Word of God. All of you that really don't know me, and you wonder about it, I'm 89 years old. The first place I was taken when I was born was to church. Because my mother and dad were members and attended church every time that church door was open, which back then wasn't just once a week or twice a week or even three times a week. There was something going on almost every evening. You had Sunday services morning and evening. You had what they call Wednesday Bible study. But then you had a ladies' night, you had a men's night, and you had a young people's night. And then other things that they would get involved in and bring up. And the churches at that time, all your Protestant churches, preached the same thing because they preached this book. They preached this gospel. And then, long about my teen years, Satan found a way into a few of the churches. And they started making changes. And each change weakened the church. And with the weakness that was coming, there was more changes. Until now, you have a lot of pastors standing in the podium today teaching you about a Jesus they don't even believe in themselves. And that is a shame. Because they went to seminary to learn how to preach from mankind. And that's where all of the changes began. You see, that's the way Satan got in. He got in through the seminaries. And they come out preaching about a Jesus that they really don't believe in. You're not seeing the power of God in the churches anymore, are you? Now, we do have a few scattered across the country that has it. And I believe we're going to see more because we are getting a wake up now. And we are going into a world revival that we're going to be getting into greatly. And you're going to see things that you've never seen before in your churches, because those that will stick with the Word of God that is filled by the Holy Spirit, because you see, that Holy Spirit is what puts that power in our church through us. We are used for Him to work through. I'm told to go and lay hands on the sick, and they'll be healed. When I go do it, then don't look and say, he's a healer. No. The one in me is the healer. I am the channel he works through. Because you waited for my power to heal you, you're going to be sick a long time. But we have to come to that point to where we are filled with the Holy Spirit, giving our lives to him so he can take over and work through us. He and the Lord Jesus Christ lives through you and I today. And that's the way the power of God will be back into the church. And if your church is not preaching that, then your church will never have the power of the Spirit in it. Now, he was telling us there that he didn't receive it from man. He got it from Jesus Christ. 13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. See, Paul's not hiding nothing. He's letting them know. He was not a good man, which we all have sinned. He knows, I say, just as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's past tense that he's talking about. And to keep it past tense, we must go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must repent. And we must receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's when we are born again. That is when we become really and truly saved. That all comes through Jesus. And we are covered by his blood. And man better start remembering some of these things. Get back into the church. Get back into the Word of God. And quit standing on this stuff that is perverting the gospel. All right, now, 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. He's telling them here why he persecuted the church. And he thought he was doing the right thing. Because you see, Paul's time, as he was growing up, until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul was still under the law. And he was keeping the traditions of the law and the way he had been taught. And what he was doing, he thought he was doing the will and the work of God by bringing those that followed Jesus back into captivity, into jail, bondage and to death. But then when he met Jesus and his life changed, all of that was gone. You see, when you really and truly meet Jesus, you will completely change. And you will want no part of this world. And you want to keep looking for the things of God's kingdom. And as you are working with him and walking in him and he in you, you will walk filled with joy. And regardless of what will come against you, you will still carry that joy of Almighty God because you are not alone. You have him always with you. You have got that with you always. He tells us several different places that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. And he, you know, the only thing God can't do is lie. And his word is the truth. And when he makes a promise, that promise has already been kept. It's up to you and I to receive it and see that it does work. And we do that through faith and trust in him. Now, 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, all of us that's read the Bible that knows how Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ that day on the road to Damascus, we know what he's telling us there is so. Because when we go back to read where he met him, and we see what he went through for the next 3 days. But when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he left there. He didn't go to God's people even. He went out into the wilderness. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. That's where he went. He didn't go around God's people at all. He went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He came back to the city of Damascus. And let me tell you something. Once you do sincerely and truly repent and meet the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first things that's going to meet you is Satan. Because you see, he's going to want to drag you away from God and from his word. because he knows that the longer you stay in the Word of God, the stronger you become as a believer. And the harder you would be to pull away. Until you grow to a time to where Satan will not be able to drag you away. But he never gives up on us. He wanted to put himself above God. He couldn't do that, and he didn't get away with it. He knows where he's going. He knows that's already settled. But he wants to take as many of mankind with him as he can take away from God. 18. Then after 3 years, you see, he wasn't around God's people for 3 years. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. He spent 15 days with Peter. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now this has been after 3 years. And at the time, they were the only two he had seen. Now, 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. None of those churches knew him by face. They had heard about him. They didn't really want anything to do with him because they knew what the things they had heard was how he had persecuted the church of God. Now, we got two little short verses here, and we're going to call it an evening. 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. You see, he's telling them himself. They knew the bad things about me. And they really wasn't accepting me now. It's hard for them to receive me. We know they finally did. 24. And they glorified God in me. But you see, it took a lot of time after he became a born-again child of God for him to even meet the other apostles and for him to gain any good notoriety of the people. So you need not to expect when you first join the church, when you first come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what you've been told. First thing you are going to come up against is resistance that will be brought on because of Satan. And a lot of it will be and will come from your family and your friends because they don't want to forget or forgive what you did before you joined the Lord Jesus Christ. And they won't believe that you could do it. Jesus ran into the same thing during his 3 years of ministry here on earth. His ministry was 3.5 years. But then when he went to go to his own home country, he could do no great miracles. Because their faith wasn't in him. He was the carpenter's son, and things worse by some of the others. Because you see, Mary was pregnant with him before she was married, because his father is the Holy Spirit. God is the one that put him in the womb of Mary. But we know that that was not accepted well back then either. Joseph had even wanted to put her away. He was trying to figure out how he could put her away privately without anybody knowing what he'd done with her. Because by their law, they could have stoned her to death. You see, it takes a lot of study. I have read this Bible through I don't know how many times. And I've read the New Testament through a lot more times. Because really, it is the New Testament that we live by. We live by it all, but our life has to be guided by the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things they did that was all right that we can't do. Back then, a man could have as many wives as he could take care of. Well, you see, now in our day and time, we can only have one at a time. Only one. Any more than that, you ain't gonna make heaven your home. Because you have more than one at a time, you're living in adultery. And no adulterer is going to get in to the kingdom of God. Although we have them in our churches even. We've got them in the pulpit. It has 2 and 3 living wives. And they claim to be a pastor. No. They're evil. They're sinners. We need to pray for them that they'll find the truth and they'll make changes to where they can then be saved. You can be saved from adultery, but you can't be saved from it and then continue living it every day. No, that don't work. It has to be put away. You've got to come out of it. All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. But now remember, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Study his word every day. Spend time with him in prayer every day. several times during the day, always giving him praise, thanks, and glory for everything you have, and everything that comes your way. All right. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we now come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come thanking you, Father, for your word, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit, and for a place and time, Father, that we can meet to share your love, to share your word with each other and those that we can reach, so that we can grow strong, Father, in understanding, in knowledge, and in faith. Now, Father, for those that are listening to me this evening, I pray that they are walking in health, that they are putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that they don't have to walk in sickness and disease, that we are healed by his stripes. May the Holy Spirit lead and show them how to receive that healing for themselves. And Father, for this land of ours, we have those, Father, that are trying to tear it apart. We pray for them as individuals to turn from their evil ways and come to a knowledge of knowing that they too need Jesus, and that they will seek him. And help us to get them out of office, Father, and to replace them with ones that will work for you, for the church, for Jesus. And help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and our government put back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray tonight for your saints, wherever they are in the world. And we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue and David Branson, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit works with all of them to bring them to the knowledge that they need, Father. Make them strong in faith. Move them, Father, into your work. Bring them forth, Father, to work in your field of harvest. Be with us all now, Father, through this night, through this week, day and night, so that we can come together again Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Father, I pray that each one we'll continue the study of your word, growing stronger each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody.